Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
My guest this evening is my son, Clayton Wood. I'm delighted that he can join us. Clayton, welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks for having me.
Last week, in the aftermath of the assassination of Charlie Kirk, we did not do a special broadcast. I wanted, in part, to sort of let the dust settle, and there was no lack of commentary from good and godly sources that was flooding the internet and the airwaves, and that is still the case. But I wanted now, when it's been over a week, to be able to talk with you about what God is doing in the midst of a very challenging time. What happened in Charlie's assassination was definitely martyrdom. It was a guy who was killed, gunned down, because of his not just political beliefs, but his belief that there is something that's truth, and truth is not whatever we want it to be or whatever we believe it to be. Truth is truth. And he believed that those truths are ultimately found not just in Scripture, but in the Messiah that Scripture points to.
Yes.
Of Jesus Christ. So that cost him dearly, because the enemy has always hated the truth. Satan is a liar and the father of lies, Jesus said. And when the demons cannot refute the truth, they simply seek to do what Satan has always done: steal, kill, and destroy. So I'm not prepared to go through all the issues that Charlie addressed or that people have said since, but I want us to talk about two things. One is some of the good that has come as a result of this evil, because I know that there have been people who've come to faith in Christ because his death forced them to recognize that life is short and that you need to decide whether you believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, or whether you don't. And there have been a lot of people who've gotten serious about the faith. I saw a guy saying, you know, I just bought, as a matter of fact, a fellow at Costco in the checkout line said to me just a couple of days ago, he said, and I didn't bring up Charlie Kirk. I just began trying to talk with him about faith and God's love for him. And he said, I just bought my first Bible and I started reading it.
Praise God.
Because God is using this evil to impact lives for good, to draw people to himself. And I know that, at least the stats I heard a few days ago, with 900 Turning Point chapters around the country, after Charlie's assassination, they'd gotten 32,000 individual requests to start new Turning Point chapters. Now, many of those requests are from people who are in the same place. You know, it's not 32,000 chapters going to be added, but there's a huge desire on the part of people, not just to run for cover, but to say, I've got to get out there and stand for truth. So that's some of the good that I've been seeing. But there's also a lot of evil that's going on and a lot of continued misinformation, falsehoods, lies that are being spread. And so if you would just reflect, I have some more things I'm going to share, but if you would share a bit of what you're seeing, I know you just spoke to a group of college students at the University of Tennessee this morning, but share with us what you're seeing, both in the way of positive impact and also in the way of evil.
Well, and it sounds strange to say, but I think that the exposure of evil is part of what is leading people to Jesus and mm-hmm. part of what is exposing the truth of what Charlie said.
Yes.
People who are promoting sexual deviancy, mental illness as something to be celebrated will walk right by a proselytizing Muslim and maybe even seek to lock arms with them. Mm-hmm. against the oppressive regime of blah, blah, blah,
right.
even though those are diametrically opposed groups. And the reason is when you're demonized, everybody who's anti-gospel is your friend.
Yes.
But when you follow Christ, everyone is going to be against you. And who is that? It's the broad path that leads to destruction.
Yes.
So one of the biggest lies that non-Christians in America believe is that people are basically good. All people are good. People are kind. People will come around. People are sweet. And so many people live under the grace of the common law system, which has its roots in biblical truth, mm-hmm. and live under the vestiges of a constitutional republic created by Christians for Christian flourishing, as yes. Justice Story said and Charlie Kirk talked about.
Yes.
And it doesn't work in a post-Christian context. And so suddenly people are waking up and saying, wait, why would I ever put my neck on the line for someone else? Why would I ever try to help defend someone else? How could I do that? And I'm afraid to do that because if I run towards danger, I'm going to face this existential end. Mm-hmm. where I don't know what's coming. Right. And the holy fear of God's wrath and judgment is what brings about revival.
Amen.
And people know that they're not sure what's next. They don't know what comes after death. We want them to ask that question so we can tell them the good news. You deserve hell. And just as I deserve hell, there's a way out. There's an escape. And it's not good works. It's not hard work. It's the finished work of Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life and died to pay the price for your sins. And Amen. that's what's exciting to talk about and to see. I did a Bible study this morning in Nehemiah chapter 4. And in that, you're seeing defensive work to protect families, to stand firm with arms at the ready, and to run towards danger.
Yes.
We live in an age where people have been lied to under the fear and idolatry of niceness. And mm-hmm. you have both criticism and critique and people who say they're on your side who are asking in Nehemiah 4, please come with us. You got to get away from there. This is dangerous. This is dangerous. Right. I didn't care so much for you. Just don't be in a dangerous place. And Jesus promised persecution to his followers. Charlie Amen. Experienced it because he followed Christ and he spoke the truth in love. And most people in America don't experience it because they do not obey Christ's command to speak the truth in love. That you were sharing the gospel with a guy at Costco because you shared the gospel with a guy at Costco a month ago and 6 months ago and 5 years ago. That's who you are. But the most positive thing I'm seeing within the church is that courage is contagious, and people who have been embracing cowardice and fear of man are suddenly saying, I am convicted, I've failed to obey God's call, and I'm going to stand up for truth.
Praise
and
God.
That is such an exciting thing to see. In younger guys, there's a huge temptation and a problem of seeking to destroy the other, seeking to fight the enemy, seeking to rip them apart. And that's not the picture in Nehemiah.
Amen.
Christians are called to protect. We are called to defend. We are not called to go on offense. And I know people will say, well, spiritually take down strongholds. Okay, yes, yes, spiritually. But none of us are supposed to be setting up sniper rifles to find leftists who we need to take out. That's wickedness, it's evil, and the people calling for it are fools, and some of them are demonized.
Yes.
And that is a group that we need to call out and resist. But guys, it's a very small group. There's not that many people. Starbucks were not boarded up in case the Christians decided to come burn them down as a liberal bastion. Right. And there's a reason for that. We know biblically what we're called to. It's to protect, to preserve, to defend. It's not to attack. We are called to love and pray for our enemies, to pray for those who persecute us, and to demonstrate the love of Christ in a credible way to them. But we do not do that by staying silent. We do not do that by agreeing with their delusion. We do not do that by saying that an ideology which expresses itself by saying, my refusal to bow down to your lies means that I am being hateful. Right. That is not the case. I cannot agree with someone who is promoting a culture of death because I love them. Right. I cannot agree with someone promoting delusion amongst people who have the highest suicide rate of any group in our country.
Yep.
And it's because I care about them. It's right. Not because I don't love trans people. It's because I do that. I will not agree that accepting and promoting and celebrating their delusion is good for them. It is not. It Amen. Is bad for them.
Amen. Thank you. That's I'm glad you shared that. And that is very vital truth that believers need to embrace, and that those who don't know the Lord need to understand about where we're coming from. There's a term that was obviously used by the young man who claimed to have done this and who all the evidence points to. He's not convicted yet, but the evidence is certainly damning. There's a claim that he made about Charlie, and that many people have made about Charlie and our president and various others. And that is the label fascist. Fascist. You've studied history. You've studied government. You have a law degree in constitutional law. Please enlighten us. Is a fascist someone with whom I disagree? Is that what makes them a fascist, is I don't like their ideas?
Well, you know, the biggest smear that happened for leftists is to be called a communist. You're a communist. You're a communist. And many of them would tisk and say, no, I'm a socialist, not a communist at all. But ultimately, right-wing people's greatest critique became the idea of being a fascist, being a Nazi, that Donald Trump is a dictator, etc. Well, Charlie Kirk was a constitutional conservative, a small government conservative, and would be closer, if you're going to slur him politically, to an anarchist than to a fascist.
Right.
Fascists believe in strong state control. And statists meet from fascist, Mussolini, Hitler, dictators, to Stalin, Mao, mm-hmm. by being aligned in the deep and overwhelming power of the state. Now, I am also a classical liberal, and that means I believe in free speech and freedom of religion. I do not believe that we should be requiring people to go to church. I don't think that that helps people come to know Christ.
Amen.
Being compelled to go to church doesn't make you a Christian. It makes you resent misguided Christians who are forcing you to do something that the Bible doesn't suggest is helpful or the right way forward.
Right.
So we need to care about free speech. We need to care about liberty. But one thing that is happening now that makes people confused is the preference cascade is switching so quickly that people look at Jimmy Kimmel getting fired, or I guess he hasn't been fired yet, but suspended, and they say, Donald Trump is silencing dissent. Well, I am not a fan of the FCC talking about this during a merger. I think that that is actually is the closest thing to governmental interference we've seen. But what's going to happen over and over in most of these cases is that What you've seen is a preference cascade. That means one or two or three or four people say something out loud and everybody looks around and takes the temperature of the room. And most people are not courageous in every society. Most people are sheep, not sheepdogs, and not wolves. They're just sheep. And they follow where they're supposed to go or where they're led. And as soon as people start to hear, wait a minute, I actually don't think it's a good thing to celebrate someone's murder. Yeah, that sounds right to me. The preference cascade is happening now. And what it means is that corporations without governmental interference, which is not fascist at all, it's capitalism. They're chasing the almighty dollar.
Right.
There are wicked, horrible, evil people who worship money. And they're about to be aligned more with what I believe than they have been for most of my lifetime.
Right.
And the only reason why is they think it's better for their bottom line.
Absolutely.
They preached and taught hate, lies, and awful, scummy things and sought to warp minds like the Disney Corporation.
Right.
And suddenly it's like, wait a minute. Uh-oh, this is bad for business. And whether it's Bud Light, which, you know, the evangelical Christian was never something that I was high on my patronage list anyway, or any of these other groups right now, Cracker Barrel. Did Cracker Barrel suddenly come out and say, we're for mass abortions? No. But what was happening is that people are embracing a wokeness that is out of step with all of their customers, and they're getting punished for it in their pocketbook. And that is why they're changing. When they make that change to cater to their consumers, that is nothing to do with fascism. Nothing at all.
Exactly.
Now, if Trump makes a propaganda arm, if he starts saying that half of the networks now belong to him and they can only say right-wing things, that is wicked. That would be evil, and that would be fascist and authoritarian in a way that I think Christians who care about our Constitution should say, we're not doing that. But that has not happened to this point. And small government conservatives should never want it to happen.
Amen.
What is actually happening mostly at this point is a preference cascade amongst consumers who are saying, hey, 80% of us agree on this issue. 80% of us agree on that issue. 80% of us agree on this other issue. And we're not going to be led around by our nose anymore by people who hate us.
Right.
The cultural elites in New York and LA are so far out of step with most consumers in America. And they are learning now, all of a sudden, because that's how preference cascades work.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. People aren't liking this. When we lie to them and say that a man who chops off his private parts is a woman, they're not liking that.
Right.
They don't believe that men should be allowed to be on their daughter's softball team or soccer team. They don't believe that their daughter should have to shower with a person with male genitalia. We're all realizing this together in terms of the bandwagon and the people who didn't have courage who are going, yeah, it looks like we're turning that way, so I'm jumping on. And the inertia of that and the weight of that is going to pull all of society hard in that direction. To the extent that that is happening without governmental coercion, it has nothing to do with fascism. To the extent that governmental coercion is the catalyst for it, it is concerning that we're trending towards authoritarianism, and constitutional conservatives should be opposed to it.
Right. Absolutely. Well said. I think a lot of people, whether it's the term Nazi or whether it's the term fascist or whether it's the term genocide, by the way, people know that's a bad thing. And if I don't like what's going on, I'm going to put that label on it. And that'll cause other people to know that it's a bad thing. But just because you don't like the way that things are trending doesn't mean that it's being ordered by fascists. It doesn't mean that the government has now taken over the entertainment industry. Why in the world, if I ran a network, why in the world would I want to continue to pay the salary of somebody who was driving viewers away from my network?
Right.
So that my rate for commercials, when I'm trying to sell commercials, the price is having to be lowered and lowered and lowered because the audience is smaller and smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
And that is what's been happening to the left.
Yeah.
And they don't believe it. They're in a room where they all congratulate each other.
Yes.
And they think this is the way everybody feels.
Yes.
And it's not. So I'm very grateful that you're making that so clear, the difference. Now, again, I want to urge our listeners to please pray for our country
Yes.
and to pray that God will revive his church, his
Yes.
people. I'm not talking about a denomination that needs to be revived. I'm talking about those who know Jesus need to be in love with Jesus,
Yes.
need to be eager to share with others who need to know him and to encourage those who are believers. We need to be building each other up,
Yes.
encouraging one another, praying for one another, loving one another, serving one another. And that's what God has called us to. And so on the one hand, I am very frustrated with the spewing of lies that is going on in many parts of the culture. But on the other hand, I am greatly encouraged every time I read God's truth. I got an email yesterday from a friend in New Jersey who said, I've been really depressed and anxious for about a week and really having a hard time rising above it. And last night, I listened to Abiding in Christ in my car as I was on my way home. And you said, meaning I said, the devil is a liar. Don't let him fill your joy. And they thought, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. I am not going to let the devil steal my joy and my peace because I know that my God reigns.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is Lord. God is not feeling threatened now or at any other time. Jesus perfectly displayed the love and holiness of God. And the response of people, there have been folks, and I shared this last Sunday in my message, there have been folks who've said, well, Charlie shouldn't have been shot, but he really kind of brought this on himself by the fact that he wasn't more loving and so forth. Those people are wrong, but the ultimate proof is not in watching more videos of Charlie.
Yeah.
The proof is to look at the Gospels, look at the scripture, and realize
Yeah.
Jesus never said the wrong thing.
Yeah.
He never did the wrong thing. He is love incarnate, and we crucified him.
Yeah.
So if this world encounters the love of God, the response is not for everybody everywhere to say, oh, this is what we've been looking for.
Yeah.
The response of the religious and the political and the powerful and multitudes of ordinary people who, like sheep, were just looking to see which way the wind was blowing.
Yeah.
Crucify him.
Yeah.
Crucify him. Crucify him. And God didn't say, oh no, I should have seen this coming. This is what the whole of Scripture pointed to. Jesus, as you said, lived that perfect life and then died on the cross as payment in full for the sins of all who believe. And if you're listening right now and you say, I don't understand all this, I'm telling you can talk to Jesus. He's not dead anymore. He conquered death. He's alive right now.
Amen.
If you'd like to talk with some of us who know him, we'd be happy to talk with you. Call our number, 866-41-ABIDE. We would love to hear from you, and we will respond. You'll get a voicemail, but we will respond. We'll follow up. And meanwhile, we're praying for you. You please pray for us. Have a wonderful weekend. Worship with other believers, and be sure and tune in on Monday for more study from the Scriptures. God bless you.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.